I guess we could find fault with all three of these men very easily. I guess we could find fault with John Mark for turning back. I confess to you, there's nothing that quite disgusts me as much as a quitter. I have an awful hard time, awfully hard time having patience with a quitter. I guess maybe you know that. But I never have thought that problems were to run from. I always thought problems were to solve. I never have thought that hills were to slide down. I always thought hills were to go over. I've never have thought that that questions were to evade. I've always thought questions were to answer. And I have an awful hard time equating a good Christian with turning back. I can't quite comprehend it. And I guess of all the things I find myself lacking patience with, it'd be people that turn back. I think if you put your hand to the plow, you ought to keep on plowing. I think you ought not turn back. I think if you're a bus worker, hang on till you die. Die with your hand in the carburetor. I mean, no need to turn back. And if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, die teaching your Sunday school class. Don't turn back. Oh, but you say, somebody else, I'm getting old. Somebody do a better job. No, your first place, you're not getting old. In second place, nobody can do a better job than experience can. And don't turn back. Don't quit. I am preachers all of America call me on the phone, say, Brother Howe, I have a problem. And could you recommend me somewhere else? I said, oh, no, never. You stay where you are. No need for that. Don't turn back. Don't run. Don't back down. Don't hedge. Don't stop. Don't quit. And I guess hell hath enlarged herself for the souls who have gone to hell because Christians turned back. Never turn back. Never turn back. The Bible says, the just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. Now, that seven times doesn't mean you fall one time, get up, second time, get up, third time, get up, fourth time, get up, fifth time, get up, sixth time, get up, seventh time, get up, eighth time, stay down. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that seven is God's complete number. The just man falleth seven times and always gets up. Always gets up. And but I guess we could, if we wanted to, find fault with John Mark. He did turn back. He got afraid, I guess, or homesick. They came to Pamphylia, a place where there was a pass and mountain pass, and wild animals were there, and robbers lurked in the shadows. And for some reason or other, John Mark, a young man, decided to go back and not continue the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. So back to Jerusalem he goes, and back to his mother he goes, and back to the comforts of home he goes, and back to the fellowship of the church in Jerusalem he goes, turning back. And I guess if we wanted to, we could find fault with the Apostle Paul. Maybe Paul was too stern. On the second time, when they decided to go on the second journey, they got together and said, let's go on the second journey. And Barnabas said, okay, come on, John Mark, and let's go. And Paul said, nope, John Mark's not going to go. He's not going to go. He turned back last time. He's not going to go this time. And Barnabas said, if he doesn't go, I don't go. And Paul said, I don't care whether you go or not. John Mark's not going to go. John Mark turned back last time. He's not going to go. And so Barnabas said, if he doesn't go, I don't go. Paul said, both of you can stay as far as I'm concerned. And the Bible said there was contention between them. There was strife. There's animosity. They argued. They fussed. A great man like Barnabas. Now, this does not mean that Barnabas wasn't a great man because he had a problem here, nor does it mean the Apostle Paul should forfeit any of our admiration because he had a problem here. Barnabas a great man and Paul a great man, but great men are men at best. And so they had some problems. And I guess we could think that Paul was a bit stern. Why couldn't Paul have forgiven John Mark? Why couldn't Paul have said, okay, come on, John, you're a young man, And you turn back, but look, good night, everybody makes a mistake, so come on, go with us. Maybe Paul should have said that. I don't know. And we could find a reason to criticize Paul about it. Or we could find reason to criticize Barnabas. Barnabas was stubborn. I mean, if Barnabas could have said, okay, Paul, if you don't think it's best for John Mark to go, I'll go with you anyway. We were alone on the last missionary journey for most of it, and I'll go with you, and so we'll go together. And But maybe he was too stubborn, or maybe his priorities were bad. Maybe he chose John Mark and chose to become almost anonymous the rest of his life. Maybe so. And maybe he should have said, okay, if you don't want John Mark, that's okay. I'll go. After all, God has chosen you now to be the leader of our missionary team, and I'll follow what you say and do what you say. Perhaps we could find fault with Barnabas or Paul or John Mark. But let's not be too harsh on these men. I want us tonight to look on the bright side of these men. Not look on the mistake that each may have made, but on the recovery that each may have made of the good in these men, even in this particular problem and difference of opinion. You know, great men often have problems. I've often said there's often a case where there's only one throne and you got two kings and somebody's got to step aside. I think sometimes great men become feel that they're the last word in something nationally, and that if somebody else says something different from them, that perhaps is wrong. And great men sometimes become enemies, at least for a season. Did you know that John Wesley and George Whitefield had some real strife between them? The truth is, as I said before, I think Whitefield was somewhat of a peacemaker. I do not think Wesley was, and my opinion is Whitefield was a far greater man than John Wesley, and the reason Wesley got all the press don't misunderstand me. Wesley was a great man, but though I don't agree with either of their doctrine, much of their doctrine. But I do believe this. I believe that Whitefield was more a peacemaker than Wesley, but the truth is they had strife. Now, that doesn't lessen Wesley in my mind, nor does it cause Whitefield to forfeit some of my of my admiration. I think they're both great men, but they simply had a problem. Did you know that Martin Luther and John Calvin could not get along with each other? The truth is, Luther got very bitter toward John Calvin. Calvin was a sweet man, a tender man, and he wanted Luther to have his way, but Luther was a harsh kind of a man. Great man, but a harsh kind of a man. And so Calvin and Luther had some problems. Now, am I going to make Calvin forfeit? No, I admire John Calvin. Don't agree with all of his doctrine. In fact, much of it don't agree with. In fact, not sure agree with any of it. But except the inspiration of the Scriptures, the deity of Christ, and so forth. But I think he was a great man, a man of stature, a man of leadership, a man of courage. And I think Martin Luther was also. Did you know that Peter and Paul had some problems? Why? Paul and Peter were eating with some Gentiles Galatia? And anyway, Gentiles, or was it Antioch? And when some Jews came in from Jerusalem, Peter realized that the Jews didn't care for the Gentiles, and he jumped up from the table, and he acted like he had nothing to do. And Paul said, I withstood him to the face. Paul said, I said, now you listen to me, Peter. You're wrong. And you shouldn't have done that, you hypocrite, you. And he rebuked him because of his hypocrisy. And, of course, anybody knows that's no way to talk to the Pope. But he did. He told him off. And they had some problems. Now, does that mean that Peter wasn't a great man? No. Does that mean that Paul wasn't a great man? No, it means there are men, and men have problems. It means there are men, and sometimes men have fusses. It means they're human, and human beings are not perfect. And since they're not perfect, it's time the rest of us who are not perfect had some patience with the others of us who are not perfect. And until I become perfect, I have no right to blame you for your imperfection. But you become perfect, you have no right to make me forfeit for my imperfection. I'm human and you're human. My feet are made of clay and your feet are made of clay. I make mistakes and you make mistakes. I'm not talking about if you find me out drunk tonight. I'm not saying, oh, preacher, enjoy yourself. And I'll see you Wednesday night. Hope the Bible study is good. I'm not talking about that. If you find me out drunk tonight, I want to ask you one question. What are you doing there? I am saying that on judgment calls, when folks don't get along with each other and have problems and fusses, that we ought to be understanding. Do you know Augustus Toplady wrote Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee? Do you know what Augustus Toplady said one time? I'd hate to have that name, Toplady, wouldn't you? But Augustus Toplady said one time he thought John Wesley should be tarred and feathered. My soul, And we sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Why, it's one of the great songs of the faith, and one of the greatest songs ever written. And yet John Wesley was the object of the wrath, and tarred and feathered. I mean, listen, that's the kind of thing that will be reserved just for Southern Baptist. I mean, not good people, and of course I'm kidding. I don't believe you ought to tar and feather. So that's tarring is enough. But I am. But I'm saying that sure, they had difference of opinion. Now, I'm not going to quit singing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me tar myself in thee. I'm not going to quit singing that. And neither am I going to think that John Wesley was bad because Augustus Toplady thought he ought to be tarred and feathered. But I want to say this. If the giants have problems, certainly we common people are going to have them. Now, I don't care who you are. There are going to be days when you're not feeling real well, and you're going to have some strife with somebody else. I don't care. Listen, fellows on the platform, there'll be days now when you're going to have strife with each other. Brother, what's your name? Young. You're going to say sometime, why doesn't Dr. Evans cooperate with the bus ministry? I'm in charge. In fact, you said that to me many times. And I am. What's the Bible say about those that stir up strife among brethren? I are one of them. And Dr. Evans is going to say, we're not running a bus ministry. We're running a college. And Ray Young's going, yeah, and you got to hear based by a bunch of deadheads out there. Haven't got any fire. They're going to know math and Greek, but don't care about the souls of men. And Dr. Evans would say, yeah, I know there, Ray, but buddy, I'll guarantee you one thing. Got too much wildfire around here already. Now, it's going to come. I don't care. I know Evans. I know how dead he is. And I know Young. I know how ignorant he is. And so it's going to come. Now, it's just going to come. And why? But the truth is, it's not do we have differences of opinion. It's how do we handle those differences of opinion. And do we come out of them? And do we become big enough to apologize and realize that we're human beings? If I started over here, I could think of a time not long ago. I had to scold Mr. Eau Claire rather severely. Now, I wouldn't want anybody in America to take Eau Claire's place. Now, there's some people outside America I'd like to have to come and take his place. Canada, but no, sir. I love Bob Eau Claire. But now, not long ago, there was a little something came up, and I had to scold him. Now, the truth is, he still loves me, and I'm working on loving him again. And right down the line, Mr. Sisson, at a meeting not long ago, I thought he was a little bit selfish about, remember that? A little selfish about something. And he was. You never saw a more selfish man in your life than Sisson. And I've noticed this through the years, though, and I say this objectively and honestly. Anytime anybody and I ever have a problem, it's always their fault. I've noticed that, and I've examined it carefully, and I say it kindly and objectively. Well, I could go on down. Elmer Fernandez. Good night. He's from Cuba. Who wants a Cuban on his staff? And I call him other things, too. And Roy Moffitt. Good night when Roy first came to work here. I said about him what Augustus Toplady said about John Wesley. And the truth is, I don't mean we don't fuss because they can't talk back, but I mean, we're human, and we're going to have difference of opinion. And when Dr. Evans first came to work here, I probably shouldn't say this, but did you know that it was such an adjustment for him that he went down to another college and looked it over as concerning becoming the president of a small college, right? And now, I don't know a finer man than Wendell Evans. Not a one. And the truth is, I'm just showing you, he can be wrong just like anybody else except me. And now, honestly and truthfully, folks, I hate to say this. I hate to shock you, but we're all human. And sometimes we're going to irritate each other. Maybe you've noticed that at home a little bit. You know, years ago down in Arkansas, I met a couple of sisters that couldn't get along. None here in this area. All this isn't Arkansas. But and one of them said, you got my rollers and use my rollers. And the other one said, no, you wore my dress yesterday and you were too fat for it and it stressed it. And now nobody do that here. But I remember, oh my soul, you wouldn't believe what I did to my sister when she was young. She was undoubtedly the most difficult person to live with ever in the history of the world. I hate to say this, but I know some people. This is only down in over in Missouri now. Nobody like this here. But I've known husbands and wives to even fuss a little bit. And, of course, nobody does that here. But I've known people in Missouri to fuss a little bit. But that doesn't mean that the wife is all bad or the husband's all bad. It means the wife is some bad and the husband's right. That's all it means. And so, that's preaching, isn't it? Boy, it bothers me when I get you on my side. I feel so ill at ease. But look, folks, you've heard me say this again and again and again and again. In a situation like we have here, as interwoven as we are, and as much as we're together, we are going, like it or not, we're going to have differences. Somebody's going to say that school teacher mistreated my child. Or some teacher's going to say that parent doesn't give a flip about his kid. If he did, he'd stand beside behind the teacher. And there's going to be differences. But look, that doesn't mean Mr. Sisson's bad because he mishandled your child. Why, I'd say somebody, I'll tell you what, you know what it is? My child didn't deserve a spanking, and Mr. Sisson gave him one. I see. I guess you never have given your child a spanking the child didn't deserve. Mr. Sisson's dead sure. Mr. Sisson never has grabbed a child. Hey, you come here. Slap him on the hand while he's going down the hallway. Hey, you. Or drug him down in the shopping center, dragging him along. If the truth is, if one of these school principals treated your kid like you treat your kid, you'd take him out of school. So we've already gone to the welfare. We're taking him out of your home. Wouldn't that be something? Now, the truth is, folks, we're human. Now, this is the greatest church on the face of the earth. And you're the greatest folks in the world. But you are folks. And folks have spits and spats. They do. Now then, we could say, okay, Mark, John Mark, you rascal, you dirty quitter, you've had it as far as I'm concerned. Or we could say, Paul, you stern, stubborn rascal, or Barnabas, you're so guilty of a lack of right priorities. But the truth is, we can see something in every one of these, all three of these men, that is admirable and good. Now let's look at John Mark. John Mark failed. John Mark turned back. John Mark got scared. But I don't think you're the type of man for life because of what he did. I'll tell you what. I'll never trust him again. Why, that John Mark. John Mark, he turned back, and I'll tell you, can't trust him. Did you know that John Mark even became a loyal friend of the Apostle Paul? John Mark could have said, boy, I'll never have any confidence in him again. Boy, he didn't let me go on that second missionary journey. I was a young man, and I wanted a second chance, and he wouldn't give me a second chance. I'll tell you what, buddy. I'll never trust him again, and I'll never work for him again. I may work for anybody in the world, but I won't work for Paul. But thank God, and to John Mark's everlasting credit, John Mark came back and became one of Paul's dearest and closest friends. If that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. Well, honey, if what you do is Christianity sometimes, then I'm a bushy-headed preacher. I'll tell you what. I wouldn't send my kid to that principal at school. At Sisson, I'll tell you, he made a mistake one time. I know he did, but she's a good lady. He's got to live with her and put up with it. Yeah, he made a mistake. He had a bad day. Listen, people come to me every Sunday. Every Sunday they come to me. They say, Brother House, I can't do a thing with my kids. How many you got? Two? Well, if you can't do anything with two, what do you expect him to do with 400? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, John Mark said, okay, Paul did not let me go, but the truth is, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to prove myself to him, Hey, a fight has 15 rounds. A baseball game has 9 innings. Have you fallen into sin? You don't have to stop. You can get back up. John Mark did. Have you made some mistake? You haven't been ruined for life. I mean, there's still some hope. And there's something you can do. Well, let me tell you, if everybody in this room tonight were to get up and walk out who's fallen into sin or made some tragic mistake and give up, we wouldn't need this section right here for the crowd, for the building. In fact, all we'd need is this chair right here. I like that. That's good preaching. Nobody said amen, but I think it's good. Amen, preacher. Amen, amen. But now the truth is, good night, everybody's stumbled. Everybody's made mistakes. Everybody. And yet, you don't have to say, I won't serve God anymore. I'll tell you what, I won't serve God anymore. That man, I have my confidence in that man. That's the Apostle Paul. He's supposed to be the best Christian on the face of the earth. And look what he did to me. Well, a fellow could be the best Christian on the face of the earth and still make a mistake. But John Mark didn't judge the Apostle Paul on the basis of one deed in life. As you heard me say so often, he judged him on the basis of the entire picture. Look at Peter. Cussed. Swore. Now, if I'd been there in that church on Pentecost, I'd have said, boy, he's got his nerve preaching. I'll tell you what, I heard that guy cussing just the other day. And now, I'm not for cussing, unless the guy that you cuss needs a cussing. But I'm not for cussing. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, here's a man who denied he belonged to Jesus. He denied he was a Christian. He denied the church. But he got up and became the great leader and the great church builder and the great missionary and the great soul winner. I'm talking to somebody tonight who fell into sin and you've despaired. There's no hope for me. Oh, yes, there is hope for you. You can rise up and God can still use you. The Bible's full with such people. David, the greatest psalms that David ever wrote, he wrote after his sin with Uriah and Bathsheba. And he rose up. Now, David never was what he could have been. And David never could be what he had once been. But still, he was usable. Oh, I love that scripture about the potter in Jeremiah 18. I think it is. It talks about that vessel that was marred. And it said, though the vessel was marred, it said it was marred in the hands of the potter. And if you tonight are a marred vessel, and you stumble and fallen or fail, I'm not condoning sin. I'm just not condoning completely discharging somebody from decency again because he's made a mistake. John Mark had a second chance and took it. Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. Stole his blessing from his dying father. One of the biggest crooked deals I ever heard of in my life was he covered his neck and his hands with hair and deceived his father, whom he thought he was on his deathbed. And Esau said, I'll get him. Jacob took off down to Haran, spent 20 years down there outside the will of God. But if you'll check the life of Jacob, his greatest years were after he came back. When he prayed it, Jabbok, his name was changed to Israel, which means a prince with God. And Jacob became one of the great patriarchs in all the Bible. I'm talking to some young person tonight who's gone into sin. And some bus kid or teenager. And you've got marks on your record. God can still use you. Yes, He can. I'm talking to some kid tonight who's a young lady the other day came to me and said, Brother Hiles, she said, my father has raped me 15 times. She said, I'm no count. She said, I grew up in the ghetto. My dad raped me. I drank liquor when I was 3 years old. She said, I'm no good. God couldn't use me. There's not one single child of God breathing God's air tonight that God cannot use in some capacity. John Mark could have said, well, I'll tell you what, if the best Christian's going to treat me that way, I just don't want anything to do with it. That's cutting your nose off to spite your face. But I said, well, I'll not go to that church anymore. That preacher did so-and-so. He singled me out. He almost preached right straight at me. He didn't speak to me on the street. If that's Christianity, I don't want anything to do with it. I'll tell you what, that's as good a Christianity as you're not wanting anything to do with it. The honest truth is there's something left. But you say for the hiles, I made a mistake. And all, I know a preacher right up here in a Midwestern state. He got mad, awfully mad, and resigned a great church on the spur of the moment. Left! Quit pastoring! He had always sought counsel from me. Always had. But this time he didn't. Resigned his church. Took off. He wrote me a letter and said, Brother Hiles, I've made a mistake. The church has called somebody else. I've made a mistake. What can I do? And I said, get back in the pastorate. I recommended to a little church out in the Midwest Plains area. Now he's out there. Wrote me a letter just the other day and said, preacher, he said, thank you that you didn't give up on me. Thank you for being my friend. I know a preacher in this nation. If I called his name, you would know it. One of the best known men in this nation who did something wrong. He did something very wrong. And he had to pay for it. But after he'd paid for it, I thought sufficiently. I met with him in a distant state. And I help reclaim his life and piece it back together. And you call me what you want to call me. You say I aid and abet sin. I do not aid and abet sin. I just don't think a fella ought to serve a lifetime penitentiary sentence because he says gee whiz one time. I think there's a time when the penalty is paid. I think there's a time when the punishment's over. And I think there's a time when a child of God ought to say to somebody who's made a mistake, I'm going to reclaim you. And help you get. Listen, I could walk over this country. I could show you 200 or 300 preachers. I've gotten on airplanes at my own expense and flown across the country and sat down. I flew just not long ago out to Denver, Colorado. Sat out there for two or three hours with a couple of fellas who had some problems. And we tried to piece that thing back together. And that's the case all across this country. And I say tonight, just because you've been sick don't mean you can't be well. And just because you've been weak don't mean you can't be strong. And just because you've been down doesn't mean you can't get back up. I'm talking to some high schooler tonight. You think it's all over for you. You've been in trouble. You did something wrong. And listen, I'm against it. I don't like wrong. Think you ought to live right. But I want you to know if you've broken our hearts a dozen times, you just come back to my office and you tell me you want another chance and I'll guarantee you're going to get it. You're going to get it. That doesn't mean you're going to get back in school tomorrow. It means that you may have to have... Even Paul didn't take John Mark on the next journey. But he took him back later. But as your pastor, I'll guarantee you, I'll try to help you piece your life back together. Oh, I love that song. You hear me quote it in the other song. Dear Lord, take up the tangled strands that we have wrought in vain, that by the skill of thy dear hands some beauty may remain. If tonight... God could not use people who stumbled before. Most of this choir would have to empty out of these pews, seats. If God could not use people that have stumbled before, most all of us on the platform have to walk off and get down in the pew. If God could not use folks who stumbled before, this building would be about empty tonight. But I want you to know there's a God in heaven who can use Jacob again. He can use Samson again. He can use Peter again. He can use David again. And God can use you again. Some of my favorite young men. Some of my favorite men in this church. So the best men we have in this church are men who have been in serious trouble in the past. Let me tell you something, folks. When you pastored the same people 23 years, there's hardly a family in this room that I do not know some mark against. And there's nobody in this room but what hasn't seen this preacher sometime when he wasn't what he ought to have been. You folks remember that night 22 years ago when I got up here and preached an awfully mean sermon. I was discouraged and defeated. And I'd had of it all I could take, and I said some things I shouldn't have said. And some of you folks in the service the next Wednesday night, when I stood behind this same pulpit right here, different covering then, but same pulpit, and I apologized publicly to this church. I'm human. These men are human. These choir is human. The bass section, very human. You're human. Teachers are human. I know people that are still holding grudges for something a teacher did to their student last semester, their child last semester. Still got it in your craw. Now, the truth is, God can use you again. I've got a lot of adopted daughters. I am. A lot of young ladies that don't have dads, and they come to me and say, would you be my adopted dad? And so often I do, especially in cases of great need. I remember that day, that little 15-year-old girl walked over here in my study. Little girl I knew, a bus kid, but lovely girl. I knew her. Been coming to our Sunday school for years. She's a little child. And she said to me, she said, Pastor, I'm going to break your heart. And I said, what is it? And she said, I'm pregnant, 15 years old. And I put my head on my arm right here and put my arm on the desk and shook the desk as I cried. And I said, what in the world happened? And she told me the story. And I was heartbroken. But that's not the time to holler and scream then. That's the time to comfort and try to help if she wanted help. And she said, Brother Hiles, I want God to forgive me, and I want you to pray for me, and I want to do right. Well, brother, if you want to do right, I don't care if you just got killing somebody, I'm going to try to help you and reclaim you. Oh, I love that story. I love that thing about Judge Clement. I love that. I have never heard in my life a greater demonstration of Christianity than that. That good man, I remember this church, who's a judge, and because of he had to read the sentence, sentencing a man to the electric chair. And then he got down off the bench and took off his robe and went to the penitentiary and won the man to Jesus Christ who was in death row. That's what I'm talking about. And anyway, this young lady, she said, Brother Hiles, what can I do? And I said, in the first place, let's give the baby to some fine couple. And you won't know who they are, and let's give the baby to them. And I said, let me adopt you as my adopted daughter, and I'll meet with you once a week, every Saturday at 5:30, 5:45, sometime along there. I met with her for 9 months, and she got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's a part of it. And so one day I'd come in, I'd say, hey, I got you a job. Why, she said, who wants a girl at 7 months pregnant? I said, Chicago Bears. They want a defensive tackle. And she'd laugh and laugh. And some of our dear ladies made her some clothes. And I bought her some clothes. And we found a place for her to stay. One of our fine homes took her in. And she had her mom and dad were divorced, and she never lived with her mom or her dad. Her grandmother had reared her. And then she gave birth to the baby. And then she never saw the baby. I'm not saying that she ought not to pay, but I'm saying she's going to pay enough without me making her pay. She came by my office many times before she went away. And she'd say, Brother Hiles, have you seen my baby lately? The truth is, I see the baby once or twice a year when I'm preaching somewhere else across the country. And she's now a lovely young lady, and I guess she must be. Oh, they must be 10, 11, 12 years old now. And, but she'd say, Brother Hiles, is she well? And I'd say, yes, she's well. And she said, what color's her hair? And I'd tell her, what color? And she'd say, what color are her eyes? And I'd tell her, what color? And she said, is she a good girl? And I said, yes, she's a good girl. Don't you tell me I need to punish that girl any more than that. She's got punishment that's indescribable now. And so, She got up and proved herself. And she went back to Hammond Baptist High School. And one of the happiest moments of my life was when I gave her a diploma right here on this platform. And then she went to Hiles Anderson College and worked hard. And she got a degree from Hiles Anderson College. And the last I heard, she's married to a young preacher boy. And I think she's teaching school somewhere in another state. Yeah. about you say, I tell you, condoning sin. No, I'm not condoning sin. That's why I'm not condoning your Pharisaism. I mean, okay, somebody does wrong. Why don't you just keep on stomp and stomp and beat and spit at them the long as they live. Make that only rascal suffer. But I'll guarantee you one thing. Before you start throwing stones, some are going to hit you. Stand up the one that's innocent of sin. Stand up the one that has some bridges you wouldn't like to burn. Stand up, ye who have some nights you wouldn't like to forget. Stand up, you who have some things you wish you could lose your memory about. Stand up, perfect people. Stand up. If I understand the church of Jesus Christ, I understand that the purpose of the church is to try to warn people from going into sin. But those that go into sin, if they won't back up, our job is to lift up the fallen, bind up that which is broken, try to salvage everything we can from every life. Funny thing happened the other day. Little lady gave birth to an illegitimate child 7 years ago. And I met with her, and I helped her, and I was her buddy. And Dr. Evans, she came to my office the other day, and she said, Brother Hiles, he said, you reckon I could do so-and-so? And I said, why? Why couldn't you? Well, she said, it was my past. And I said, what's in your past that's bad? And she said, you remember. I said, to save my life, I can't. She said, Brother Hiles, I was pregnant before I got married and had a baby out of wedlock. And I'd forgotten. That's one of the advantages of being senile. I'd forgotten. But you know, when she left, I had a spell. I took off my shoes and I got thinking, my Lord said, I will remember your sins no more. I'll remember your sin. Hey, that night might haunt you, but God's forgotten all about it. It's under the blood, don't you see? So, John Mark, I could condemn you because you turned back, and I'm sorry you did turn back. But John Mark, if you come back, said Paul, I'll give you another chance. And after it served his time, he did. How about Paul? I could say, Paul, you stern fella. But I got to say this about Paul. I've got to say, I like the fact that he had no place for quitters. Now, he was too stern, but he hated quitters. But he did later give John Mark another chance. Boy, Paul could have said, why, I tell you what, young man, come here. You young whippersnapper, I'll tell you what, I know something about you. Let me tell him. What's it worth to you? And I know something about you, boy. I'll tell you, I'll never trust you again. Boy, I know, I right there in Pamphylia on that missionary journey, you little old pussyfoot near tickling, back scratching, penny pinching, nickel nipping, salt soap and pink tea and everything. Come promiser, I'll tell you, boy, I'll never trust you again. Okay, so John Mark turned back. But there's still a hope for John Mark to be salvaged. And Paul, Paul, to his everlasting credit, gave him another chance. Folks, you don't know who's sitting beside you tonight. And I'm glad you don't. And they don't know who's sitting beside them either. And I'm glad they don't. Let me tell you what we all are. We're all a bunch of dirty sinners that deserve to go to hell. Every stinking one of us and knows it smelled good. We deserve to go to hell and burn forever. I can hear old Dr. Ford Porter standing behind this pulpit and he'd say, you're looking at a man who deserves to go to hell. And lift his hands up and say, but blessed be God, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. Yeah. Yeah. I wish you knew all. I don't wish either, but you'd be surprised if you knew all I know. Some of the sweetest Christians in this church have some of the saddest pasts. Some of the dearest Christians I know have some of the saddest, some of the deepest sins in their background. Hey, you know the difference in those you criticize and those you don't criticize? Hear me carefully. The ones you criticize are the ones you knew when they committed the sin. If you didn't know him when they committed the sin, it didn't make as deep an impression in the record. So, you have grace with them. But those that you knew when they committed the sin, those are the ones that you have no mercy on. Now, you just go ahead and put me in whatever bin you want to put me, but I'll guarantee you, if God be God and this Bible be true, we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7 and reclaim, and we're supposed to take everything we can out of every life we can and squeeze everything good out of it we can to the glory of God. Esau gave Jacob another chance. Joseph gave his big brothers, his brothers, another chance. Can you imagine that? Would you have fed them? Huh? Those guys sold that. First, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. Going to put him in a pit and kill him. His brothers. Just exactly like I wanted to do to my sister. Yesterday. But now, wait a minute. They said, hold it, hold it. We won't make a dime out of this dead carcass. We can sell that guy for 20 pieces of silver. Let's sell him. They sold their brother. I bet if everybody here that's got a brother could get 20 pieces of silver, a lot of folks would sell him. Give him away. Pay somebody 20 pieces of silver to get him. Sold him! Years passed. His father thought he was dead. And, of course, they even deceived his father to make his father think that he was dead. But years passed. Famine came. And Joseph became the second in command of all of Egypt. And there was food in Egypt. And his dad, old dad, sent his brothers to Egypt to try to get some food. Little did they know Joseph was still living. And Joseph did not reveal himself. They did not know who he was. They came up and said, "We need some food." Now, boy, if that had been you, you would have said, starve. Starve! You dirty, sorry rascal, you. You rascal, you got pussyfoot in there, tickling, rash catching, fanny fetching, nickel, lemon, salt, soap, and pink, and never made. Murders! Why, you tried to kill me. But Joseph forgave and gave another chance. God gave Jonah another chance. The church gave Peter another chance. I'm saying, let's not be too hard on Mr. Paul. Maybe he was too stern. But even his sternness was because he hated sin, and to his everlasting credit, he did receive John Mark back, and John Mark became one of his most trusted followers and servants. Is that a lie? Let's go to Barnabas. Did you know the very thing, him and now, the very thing that Barnabas, that Paul became angered over, was the very quality in Barnabas that gave Paul his first chance to be a preacher? Paul had been persecuting the Christians. Barnabas was a respected member of the church at Jerusalem. Paul had been persecuting Christians and even helping, no doubt, in martyrs, Christians becoming martyrs. And now that Paul gets saved, he goes back down to Jerusalem and says, "I won't preach to you." And they said, not you, buddy. Not you. We wouldn't trust you. And Barnabas stepped in and said, "I'll vouch for him. I'll vouch for him." Now, when Barnabas was vouching for Paul, he liked it. When Barnabas was standing the same way for John Mark, Paul didn't like it. So I'd like to say a good word about Barnabas. I admire the way he stood for the young man who had made a mistake. I admire the way that he, though he did not condone the mistake, and though maybe he should have been a little less strong in his arguing with Paul, nevertheless, I'll have to say, I like the fellow. I'm going to ask you a question tonight, and I want you to look at me. I'm talking to some folks tonight in this room who can associate yourself with John Mark. You blew it. You blew it. You're in college, and you kissed a girl. You blew it. Broke the rule. Okay, you blew it. And you ought to get punished. And you will. But it's not all over yet. Okay. Back yonder, your past. There's a night when you're going to figure, okay. But think about John Mark. Listen, he came back and wrote the second book of the New Testament. And he came back and stood with the Apostle Paul and became one of the great Christians in the New Testament. Now, he missed the second missionary journey, and he should have because of his mistake. But I'm talking to folks tonight. I'm talking to men tonight who sinned. I'm talking to ladies tonight who've done wrong. You'd like to forget. I'm talking to young people tonight. You wonder if there's any hope for you. I'm simply saying, folks, we shouldn't make a person live with a reputation 25 years of something he did 25 years ago. That's not Christianity. All across the country. I don't call this fellow's name. Nobody knows who it is. Not many, anyway. There's a man in this church. Kissed a gal one time 20 years ago. There are folks in this church still don't trust him. One gal he kissed 20 years ago. And some of the men that don't trust him weren't even saved 20 years ago, and you were kissing a different gal every night. I'm not recommending that, he should have kissed the gal. But I'm saying the truth is a fella does something wrong, and some of us never forget it. We never take it off his record. Now, nobody's going to stay at a church 20 years or 10 years or 10 months without disappointing us. And I'm, for one, am saying that we are a spiritual hospital. When one of us gets sick, if he'll come back for treatment, God bless you, let's treat him. And let's try to help him. For 22 years and a half, I've been pastor of this church. I've been disappointed again and again and again, as have you. And my heart is broken many, many times. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's not a person sitting in this room tonight who forfeited one thing with a preacher. Not one thing. Not one thing. As long as you want help and you're trying to do right, you've not forfeited one solitary thing. And God still can use you. I say, instead of saying to John Mark, it's all over for you, I say, let's say with the Apostle Paul, come on back, John, let's try it again. Doc Devin, you and I have sat in my office with the future of a faculty member or a staff member in our hands time and time again. And we have done everything in our power to go the second mile and give the second chance. Remember when Laurent stole those groceries from that store? Remember that? Remember the second time he did it? Huh? And the third. Yeah. And the only we forgave him because he shared the groceries with us. Remember that? Hey, folks listening on tapes around the world, I'm just kidding. These tapes go all over the world. It wasn't groceries, it was jewelry. I've got a problem. I'm human. And you have the same problem. You're human too. I'm going to stand up here as long as I got strength and holler against sin. And I'm going to say, John Mark, don't turn back, John Mark! If you're going to turn back, don't come and tell me goodbye. Crawl out of the city in a sewer. And I don't want to tell you goodbye if you're going to quit. But if you write me a letter and say you want to come back, I'll welcome you at the door. Yeah. Oh, you're not going to commit. Look. There was a guy in this church one time. these illustrations I'm telling, you don't know who they are. This guy in this church one time. Little fella who decided he wanted to be a male prostitute. But he became a female prostitute. Dressed like a girl. Would entice some. And by the way, he looked sort of sissy. And would entice some guy. Come to his apartment. Get his money. And then and slip out the bathroom window before the guy found out he was a boy. He grew up in this church. He came one day to my office and told me the whole story. He said, "Preacher, any hope for me?" I said, "My Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I don't have anything that I can think of that detests me any more than that. In the first place, I don't like a sissy. And I really don't like a sissy that's homosexual. But I'll bind you one thing. I spent hours with that fellow. How much good it did, I don't know. But I spent hours with him. Because that's my job. And that's our job. Tonight, I'm talking to somebody who's like John Mark. You failed. You blew it. You failed. God can still use you. Don't despair. I'm talking to somebody tonight who was betrayed by a good Christian. Somebody you trusted. Somebody that you in whom you had confidence. And it may be the person you thought was the best Christian on the face of the earth betrayed you and broke your heart. God can still use you. And John Mark was used. I'm talking to somebody else tonight that equate with Barnabas. You've been harsh. And yet, and you've turned your back on life's big opportunity. But there's something God can do with you. I can still see old John Rice standing up saying, he said, bless the Lord. If ever you hear that John Rice has gone into sin, and he's gotten drunk, and John Rice has gone off on dope and lived in wicked life, he said, I'll tell you where you can find me. You'll find me in some rescue mission walking the aisle in a few days. Yeah. And when he does walk down that rescue mission, a loving Heavenly Father is going to say, welcome home, John. Welcome home, John. I'm talking to somebody else tonight that can relate to the Apostle Paul. You've been a little harsh. And tonight you need to realize that God loves sinners. And be used of God, as was Paul, to give the John Marks a second chance. Where are you tonight? Let's don't lose our faith in people because they reveal the fact that they're human. Father, bless the truth of the message tonight.